Right, you were here early.
Well, if you can't be smart, at least you can be early.
We appreciate that.
Y'all may be seated. All right, Mr. Whalen, we'll hear from you now. Would you like to reserve any time for rebuttal?
5 minutes, Your Honor.
5 minutes it is.
Well, may it please the court, my name is David Whaley. I represent Christopher Lee Watson. And, this is an unusual situation, an unusual case. It is a sufficiency of the evidence. Mr. Watson, as this court knows, was driving an automobile. He was recognized by the officers having a suspended license. He was pulled over. Once he was pulled over, there was a discussion whether he had a restricted license or didn't have a restricted license. And during that time period, the officer thought it would be a good idea to call a drug dog, which he did. So during that time period, we're waiting for the drug dog. They continued to talk about whether he had a license or not. Of course, there was a faint odor of marijuana. And the dog eventually arrives. It alerts on the car. The car is searched. There's no marijuana. But as the officer began to search the car, based on the dog's alert, he gets to the trunk.
Counsel, let me interrupt you because we're familiar with the facts. And
yes, sir.
It seems to me this case comes down to two facts that, in the light most favorable of the Commonwealth, that are either sufficient or insufficient.
You're correct.
One is the your client's demeanor, described by the officer Johnson, that he was not upset or anything like that when the gun was discovered. And the second, and probably more significant, is the statement that the officer overheard him say to, I guess it was his girlfriend, quote, they found the gun. I'm going to jail. Now, in the light most favorable of the Commonwealth, it seems to me that establishes his knowledge that the gun is there and what the consequences of the fact that he's aware of the gun being there. So given that, I mean, how do we get around that? Because it seems to me that alone is totally undercuts your argument.
Well, much like you, Judge Humphreys, I thought I'd lost cases everywhere in every way known to man. But I've never lost a case based upon one word, and that word would be the. And I will tell you that, I don't give a lot of credence to the fact that he doesn't get mad or upset or curse at the police officer or attempt to run when they find the gun. The fact that he is pleasant, the fact that he is cooperative, I look at that kind of as a non-factor, truthfully. Because if he had been aggressive, then you cut that either way. But I'll tell you what's interesting is that prior to that, he had told the officer, and you got to realize the gun is found in the trunk underneath the spare tire of a car that's jointly owned between he and his fiancée. So it's not in plain view. And he tells the officer, when the officer finds the gun, that that's not his gun. He didn't know it was there.
But then he offered to get the officer two more guns.
He did. Well, you know, a lot of people don't want to go to jail. And I think at that point he was trying to negotiate not going to jail. So I don't think you can infer from that statement anything other than he didn't want to go to jail.
And that he could get two more guns.
I was going to say you could also infer that he's got access to weapons.
Well, he does live in the city of Richmond, and most people would have access to weapons, Your Honor. So I'm not shocked that
You're not with the Chamber of Commerce here, are you?
No, so I'm just a struggling old man in the fourth bench. But, you know, the fact that he's able to say, I could get you two more guns. So,
well,
in the context of he's found a gun. That doesn't,
Found a gun.
Well, here's what's interesting about that. Is you take a relatively uneducated person, and you take the Article V, and we're basing this whole case on that. Because if the officer testified anything other than he said the gun, he said I found the gun. They found the gun in the car or something, and I'm going to jail. The officer had already told him he was going to jail. I mean, he's a convicted felon. The officer said, you're going to jail. He knew he was going to jail.
Your client might not have been in class the day to discuss definite articles.
I don't think he was, Your Honor.
But the point is, under our standard of review, the record is what it is. It's either sufficient or insufficient based on what it is. And that definite article is clearly in the record and supports the verdict. And And I don't hear you really arguing otherwise. You're just really arguing that somebody misheard or your client is not as fluent in the English language as...
I'm arguing he's not as fluent. Because even after that, Your Honor, and he's right in front of the officer when he says it, he continues even after he gives the officer back the phone to say, what? Look, that's not my gun. I didn't know what was in there. That's after. So we're taking a man with limited education, and we're taking the Article V, and we're determining that he's guilty because he said the gun as opposed to a gun.
Well,
he says it in front of the officer.
Isn't that a reasonable interpretation that the trial court was allowed to accept?
Well, I would suspect that that's correct.
That's our standard, right?
That is your standard.
And we haven't talked about joint possession yet.
Well, I don't think that would make much difference if it's possessed jointly or singularly. He would be guilty.
Right.
So
does the make a difference? It's a car owned by he and his title to he and his fiance. He's on the phone to her, telling her they found the gun, they found a gun in the trunk. I'm going to jail. By the way, I'll offer them two more after they find the gun.
Well, I think if he had said they found a gun, if the officer testified they found a gun, obviously,
car.
I think I'd be a little stronger. But the officer testified that the defendant said, I found the gun.
Right.
But the only thing I'd say is significant is the case. It's the Article V. I mean.
I think context is important, and I kind of flipped it around. But the officer then immediately described after his testimony about overhearing that conversation with the girlfriend, he said his demeanor when he said that was not upset or anything like that, like a normal person would be, but was instead very monotonous, very matter of fact. So it seems to me the fact finder could conclude that when he said they found the gun or a gun, either way, he certainly wasn't surprised about it, and that suggests he knew it was there, and he certainly exercised dominion and control over the vehicle that it's in. So I'm not sure, as Judge Decker pointed out a moment ago, I'm not sure the particular article that was used, whether it was the or a, definite or indefinite, it was, makes a lot of difference.
I'm not sure if we can conclude from his conduct that that would prove knowledge. The fact that he wasn't upset, the fact that he wasn't...
It's a circumstance that goes with all the other stuff.
And it is a factor that the courts have recognized.
Demeanor
is a factor, just like flight would be a factor.
Yes, and there was none of that.
None of that.
Fortunately.
Nope.
Only thing I'll say is, he goes on afterwards, and he makes that call right in front of the officer. In fact, he uses the officer's phone, I believe. The officer's standing closer to him than I am to you. And so as he puts the phone down, he says, look, that's not my gun. He goes back to denying that it was his gun. But I realize this is somewhat of an uphill battle for Mr. Watson. But I believe that if you take the totality of the circumstances, that the evidence is insufficient. Thank you.
Thank you. And you have about 7 minutes left, counsel.
Well, my parking meter's running, so.
And you were very patient this morning. We appreciate that.
May it please the court, Your Honors. What we have here is a circumstantial evidence case. The issue on appeal is sufficiency. Our position is that the totality of the, based on the totality of the facts, it was reasonable, allowed the trial court to make the reasonable inference that the defendant was aware of the presence of the gun in the trunk. Other counsel has gone through the facts that support that conclusion, including that the defendant makes the statement in a monotone voice in a very matter-of-fact way that the police found the gun, I'm going to jail. In addition to that, he's the sole occupant of the vehicle. In a unique twist in this case, he happens to be the registered owner of the vehicle along with his girlfriend. He's quiet during the search of the interior of the vehicle. He pipes up again about his restricted license as the officer moves to the trunk of the vehicle. There's no yelling and screaming. There's no surprise indicated when they find the gun in the spare tire wheel well. When they lift the cover of that wheel well, it's in plain view at that point. And the only other thing in the trunk is a sweatshirt. So it's not like that trunk is piled full of all sorts of items. We submit that the totality of the circumstances allow the trial court to reasonably conclude that the defendant, that the gun was not only subject to the defendant's dominion and control, that he was aware of it. And we would ask that the court affirm the conviction. Are there any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
In light of the court's earlier comments, I will rest unless someone...
Any questions?
Unless someone wants to take a swipe at my mayor or something, Your Honor.
No, sir.
Thank you.
We'll pick up another one day.
We'll come down and...